Okay, very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the, is it 18th of October, 2019? Today is the 19th already, of October, 2017, Thursday. So we are having our Thursday class at Brother Suyan and Sister Mipong's house. We will now develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully commence the puja. Let us kneel. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. The chanting book is here in front of you. Turn to page 1. We will start off with the Vandana chanting. After the first salutation that we have just chanted. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Amesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapama dathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja, the offerings of light, or the items that we just offered. Now we will recite them. Ganna sarpa ditena, ditena tamadangsina, tiloka dipang sambudang, pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena, dopenahang suganghina, pujaye pujaniyantang, puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang, etang kusuma santatin, pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, puje mi buddhang kusumena nena, punena mtena ca hotu mokang, pang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati binasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now you recite the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, may this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of clear, pure, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses out the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Bhajam. Vatang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. And we can develop the meditation. But before that, I would like to explain a little bit for the benefit of Stephanie's friend. You see, what we did just now was the puja. We call it the puja, which is Buddhist devotional practice. So all the offerings are called puja offering. They have various significance, as chanted by us just now. Then if you know their significance, you can make aspiration based on your understanding. Then when you do it, you develop faith in the Buddha and his teaching, and that will give rise to a composed and calm mind. Then with that faith, when you understand clearly who the Buddha is and how unique a being he is and how wonderful his teaching is, because it can give rise to understanding or wisdom that can awaken the human mind, the individual, so that you can become enlightened. Then the being that has this understanding will not suffer anymore. Their life will be always very, very beautiful. Yeah. They will have inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness leading to wisdom, understanding. And no matter what happened to their life, to the world, they are still peaceful, beautiful, and full of understanding. There is love, there is joy. Mm. Then when you offer all those things, you have to develop mindfulness with attentiveness, awareness. It is a form of mental training, giving rise to the meditative state. Yeah. If you want to develop more understanding, I have given you this book, the Blue Book. Eh? Important meditation instruction needed to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So all those things that we did just now, including how to develop the mindfulness or awareness when you make the offering, everything, they are all explained here. Then later on, including the meditation, why human beings, before they develop the understanding of this teaching, their mind is not peaceful and they cannot meditate. The reason being, the Buddha said, you have mental hindrance. Huh? You look at the whiteboard, the two white chart. Huh? I think, don't know what you call it. I call it a chart, but there is nothing drawn, there is words on it. So these two category of dhamma, the first five is called the five mental hindrance. Like the word hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And these mental hindrance are very common in most human beings' mind. Before you have the Dhamma understanding and training, the hindrance will overwhelm you. That's why most of the time you think a lot, you worry a lot, you have a lot of mental activity, emotion, thinking. And this mental hindrance, they occur throughout the day, almost every moment, every instant. So in English, they are called sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor is sleepiness, dullness of mind, lethargic mind. Then the fourth is restlessness. Your mind becomes restless, think a lot, worry a lot. All of your fear, worry, anxiety will lead to restlessness of mind. That's why when you sit down, you cannot meditate because these thoughts keep on arising. These are the mental hindrances that prevent you from becoming peaceful, aware, calm. That's why you cannot develop the meditation. Then the last hindrance is doubt. When you don't have faith, don't have confidence, you tend to have a lot of doubt in your mind. And when you have doubt, your mind is not composed, not calm. You are not able to understand things. You tend to develop confusion, delusion. So the Buddha said, when these arise, you don't have to fight them, suppress them, or do anything. You only need to understand that they are there because you lack the opposite five. We call it the spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. And these five are, in Pali, the Buddha calls Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, translated as faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then Virya is spiritual zeal, tenacity to go this way, where you see the importance of this teaching. That's why you have a lot of Virya. Then you develop the third spiritual faculty, which is attentiveness or mindfulness, awareness before the knowing. So everything you do, you have to develop this quality of mind called mindfulness or attentiveness without thought. Yeah. And meditation is to train your mind to have this quality of mindfulness. Mm. Then the fourth one is when mindfulness stabilizes, your mind becomes collected and unwavering. That is the fourth spiritual faculty, samadhi. Then when sati and samadhi arise, you can see things as they are very clearly. Then you can understand many things. Then the fifth spiritual faculty, wisdom, will arise, panya. So all these are described in this book. Eh? You don't have to remember anything. Just go back and read. Then you understand. Then now we can off the light. Eh? For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. Then I will give you some simple instruction to train your mind, eh? To develop some form of mental peacefulness, inner peace leading to inner well-being. We call it the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then after that, you use anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath to stabilize this mind so that you can be in the meditative state. All the explanation are in the books given to you, so you don't have to remember anything. You just have to listen attentively. Eh? Okay, make sure you have a stable posture. Relax body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. Eh? As your meditation develops, your spinal cord is a channel for the chi. So this spinal cord, if it's not straight, it will bring about unnatural posture that can hinder your progress of meditation. So relax body and mind, completely silent your mind, then make sure your backbone is straight. Then close your eye. Close your eye. Bring your attention to your forehead. Feel. Don't think, just feel. Feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax and relax every part of your forehead muscle. Then you sweep this mind, your attention down to your eye muscle. Feel and again relax. Relax into every strand of your eye muscle. Feel your eye muscles soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then also feel your eye relax, every aspect of it, soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel and relax them. Then in order to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile to yourself, you will have joy. When you have joy, the body is relaxed. That's how you relax your body. And your facial muscle will also naturally relax when you smile. When you have this joy within, then you can combine with loving kindness. We are reciting, following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, each and every cell within. Then you continue to recite, may this body and mind of mine too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So you feel your body and mind without physical and mental suffering. A lot of well-being within. Then you continue, may it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. then you radiate this same loving kindness or metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sister, my good friend, my neighbors and colleagues, all fellow Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends, and all beings throughout the entire existence, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this metta or loving kindness towards all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, including all Kayanamitas or Dhamma friends who are meditating with us here, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our Mother Earth. Then to all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you just relax body and mind and completely silent everything. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your heart area, your chest area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration within your heart area or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. But if you are new, you're not sensitive, it's okay. Then you just relax body and mind, like you feel your forehead, then you relax. So you feel your heart area and relax. Yeah. Feel it soothingly, relax, every part of it, relax. Then you move it to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your abdomen, silence everything, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. You can reverse this mind sweeping method. From the buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you move your attention up to your abdomen. Silence everything, feel and relax. Then your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then your heart area, silence everything, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then you move your attention up to your facial muscle, feel and relax every part of it. Then you move it up to your eye muscle, do the same, then your forehead. By now, your mind should be more peaceful and more calm. Then what you need to do is to stabilize this mind state of inner peace and inner well-being, thereby enabling you to stabilize this meditative mind or silent mind. To do this, you need an object of meditation to anchor the mind so that it don't think, so that you are just aware of the object of meditation. the one that the Buddha recommends is mindfulness of the in and out breath. He calls it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breathing. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. So it's very simple. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostrils, silent everything and just feel. The moment you can detect your breathing, breathing out, the awareness, the mind is aware. Breathing in, also same, the mind is aware of the in-breath. Then breathing out, the mind is also aware of the out-breath. If you are new, you haven't developed the training, then it's not easy. Within split second, your mind will wander off. You cannot maintain attentiveness or mindfulness of the in and out breath. So what you do is every time the mind wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. Do not become unhappy or do not be affected by what happened. Just understand that the untrained mind thinks a lot, wanders off very fast, become heedless very fast. So you just patiently bring your attention back to your nostril, in front of your nostril, and silent everything and just be aware, attentive. The moment you detect your breathing, then the breath and the mind move as one without thought, and that is mindfulness of the in and breath, in and out breath. That's what the Buddha meant by breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. If you are patient, not long, anapanasati will stabilize. And when anapanasati stabilizes, when you can maintain this movement of the in and out breath with full awareness, without thought, you will become very calm, very peaceful, and you will experience a type of peacefulness called piti. Piti is a type of calmness born of meditative training. When the mind is in sati, without thought, it becomes very calm. They call it spiritual calmness, born of mental training without thinking. So this spiritual calmness, that calm, will become very, very, very soothing and very beautiful. You sometimes can experience the spiritual rapture or spiritual joy. There's a lot of joy within. Even though you are very calm and very peaceful, then you just maintain awareness of the in and out breath. This training is very useful, very important. So you continue to do it until you are very stable. Then relax into every mind state that arises. If you can do that, the calmness will become different. From piti, it will transform and become sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. It is more refined than piti. So you continue to relax into it, you will experience this sukha or blissfulness of mind. Then you will like to meditate, then you continue to relax and silence everything. Then this mind, initially you will develop a long breath. Then like the whole breath is very clear to you, without thought, just aware, fully aware of the movement. Then you experience all the byproduct of meditation, the inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being. Then you continue to relax. You will experience the silent mind, the tranquility of mind. We call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility or stillness of mind. Perfectly still and silent, you just aware, nothing else. The mind has entered sati. You have to stabilize this mind state, then use it to meditate. Okay, now I will let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about another 10 or 15 minutes. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. If you find your meditation still can continue, and your mind state is good. You can continue your meditation. You don't have to worry about the bell. But for those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Okay, I will let you develop your own meditation. Those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we shall continue our chanting. Turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We will chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammam muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Veja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisadam Sarati Satta Deva Manosanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditambo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Champ. Betang Pujami. Damang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue with our session 2. Session 2 is on reporting of meditation. Eh? You can report your meditation, then I will guide you along. Eh? Then you can, after that, ask any question you like. Eh? Your question can be anything related to the meditation or the teaching. Mm. Okay, we will open it up. Eh? You just raise your hand if you want to report your meditation and ask any question. Then we will pass you the mic. Eh? Anybody? Today, no prepared question. Eh? Last week, we had some from one of the sister, Kiat Hun. Yeah. What about the two of you, eh? Sister, Brother Yang and your wife? How you find the meditation, the first session? Able to do it? Not able to do it. A lot of thinking come in, eh? Which is very good. Yeah, at least you are aware that this mind think a lot. You know why it think a lot. Just now I briefly explained, but you go back and read this book, you will understand. I will explain a little bit. You see, this is what the Buddha meant by your mind is not peaceful. Why are you not peaceful? It's because of this mental hindrance. And like the word hindrance, this mind state, when they arise, they will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's the reason why most people cannot meditate. Unless you have developed the training, then you have some very good past cultivation. Then this life you come, you settle down very fast, then the meditation comes to you very naturally. Otherwise, most people experience what you experience. A lot of thought keep on arising. And you find it very difficult to calm yourself down. Then, like the seminar book I mentioned inside there, for most people, peacefulness of mind is very difficult to come by. It's not easy to be peaceful, to be calm. So this mind, when it is confronted with this mental hindrance, it will have this problem. So you don't have to worry. The untrained mind is like that. Have mental hindrance, and it will think a lot. It will have restlessness of mind. Yeah? Thinking means the mind is not peaceful, not calm, it's restless. Restless is mainly because you don't have a clear mind. You have not lived life in accordance with understanding. So there was no order when you live your daily life. You live a daily life of what they call disorder. Disorder means like a country. Huh? When the country is in a state of disorder, means very chaotic condition. Correct or not? No law, no rules. That's why it becomes chaotic. So that type of situation reflected in the mind. When you don't have order, the mind will become afflicted, affected, and it will have all these mental hindrance to create the restlessness of mind. The first thing that makes the mind think a lot is you have throughout the day, as you live life, whenever you see something, hear something, smell, taste or tactile feel, or arise any thought, your mind tend to stir and react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And that reaction is always related to the senses. Whether you desire what you see or hear, then you develop sensual craving or sensual desire. If you don't like what you see and what you hear or what you smell, taste or tactile feel or think, you develop dislike or aversion, ill will. So these two mind states of sensual desire and ill will, human beings keep on arising throughout the day with every moment of sense experience when they live life. So if you create mental hindrance throughout the day, this will become your habitual tendency. That's why you live a life of disorder. There is no order. You have everything also you want to command, react, stir your mind. So this mind that do all this become heedless in itself. It think a lot. It react and develop the sensual desire and the craving. Craving for the mind state that you like or sense experience that you like. If you don't like, you become unhappy. The opposite arises. So these two are very powerful. If throughout the day you have this mental hindrance, there is no peace for you. Because without you knowing it, your mind complains a lot. Like and dislike. That's why if you are mindful, if you are aware, you will find out very clearly that as an individual, as a human being, before you have all this understanding, your mind is never peaceful, never in the state of equanimity or peacefulness. It is always oscillating between the two duality, the two extremes of like and dislike. So you have your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your like and dislike for whatever that arise. So this one keep on producing mental hindrance. So if you do it so often until it become a habitual tendency, means throughout the day these mental hindrance are there. That's why when you want to sit to meditate, you cannot. Because the mind doesn't understand it has this. Then this movement is what the thought process is all about. That's why it cannot end, because you have developed this thinking until it becomes habitual, until the mental hindrance is like throughout the day a part of your mental activity or thinking or movement. And the worst is, as you go through life, you entangle problem. Most people entangle problem because they don't know how to resolve it. Then they perceive that situation with negativity of mind. That's why you will arise the fear, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the unhappiness, and you will project your thought. So this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation will bring about a very, very restless mind. This mind worry a lot. And the Buddha mentioned in the teaching, is it, as you go through life, there are 8 types of condition in life, or 8 types of realities of existence that can make you miserable, afflicted. He said, when a person confront birth, old age, sickness and death, you will have problems. So especially disease, sickness, then as you get old, you will develop a lot of problem, health-related problem. Your organ will start to fail you. Your senses will start to fail you. Then your life deteriorate, your quality of life deteriorate, and you develop more sickness, more health issues. Then sometimes when you are hit with traumatic disease like cancer, stroke, heart attack, or heart problem. Then sometimes old people got dementia, rheumatism, backache. various type of suffering and pain that comes about. Then when you experience all this, you tend to have a lot of mental negativity, sadness, especially traumatic disease. Then the fear of death. So all these are related to life experiences. As you go through life, you confront them, but you don't know how to handle them. Your mind will be affected. So fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation will make you restless. You cannot become calm. You cannot become peaceful. Because you worry about those problems, especially health problems. And sometimes you may have life-related financial problem. Sometimes it's relationship problem. Your relationship with your loved ones, your spouse, your colleague, your neighbors all doesn't work out to be the way you want it to be. Then you also have career-related problem, office problem, job problem. You're scared you will be dismissed. Then sometimes you are in certain type of business, you make a mistake, then it can translate to big problem. It can become CBT or criminal breach of trust, or sometimes it can lead to financial difficulties. When you are in certain aspect of business that involve cash flow, cash flow problem can bring about a lot of fear, tremendous fear, because you worry about how to get cash flow to pay your staff, to pay your rental, to make sure your company still can go on as a going concern and all those things. So these are life-related problems. Then the Buddha also mentioned when you are with people whom you don't like, you also develop problems. Then when you cannot get what you want in life, when your expectations in life are not met, when you cannot develop the whatever plan success that you look forward to. So when you expect to be promoted, you expect to do well, but you didn't. Even as a student, you expect to do well in your exam, but the result come out is the other way around. Then you expect to be promoted, you are not promoted. So when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, your mind develop unhappiness, afflicted. So all this is a cause of mental hindrance, and the Buddha called them all suffering. Then when you are not sure, you have a lot of doubt. Then when you don't understand, it's important, you feel very sleepy, very lethargic, your mind is very weak, like meditation. If you don't understand its importance, you sit down, you don't know what to do. People give you instruction to meditate, you cannot understand. And because of that, you feel sleepy. Then even if you don't feel sleepy, you find that it's very difficult to calm yourself down. Because most of the time, you are in a state of active mode in life. You move around, you think a lot, you do your thing, then that becomes your routine. So now it's like a kid who every time used to go out and play around and enjoy their whatever life condition. Suddenly you tell the boy or the kid, you ground him, you cannot go out. So meditation is the same. Suddenly you cannot move around, you cannot do what you like. You have to sit down and train your mind to meditate. So this mind cannot. It will react. It will stir. It will become wild. That's why all this thinking will start. Then it will make you like agitated. Then you want to move. You dare not move. There may be pain. There may be what they call numbness. Or sometimes uncomfortableness. Then all this restrict your movement. Make you more and more agitated. That's the reason why this hindrance, when they arise, you cannot meditate. So the initial phase of meditation is to see this, then understand that because you have not trained your mind to develop the opposite five. That's why the Buddha said they arise. So according to the Buddha, he said, don't fight the mental hindrance, don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. You just let it arise. When you let it arise and don't resist or suppress or control, this mind will settle down. It will become quiet and peaceful on its own because you don't develop the like and dislike. If you become unhappy with your mental state because you think a lot and you thought you cannot meditate, you thought your meditation is lousy, then you dislike. There is ill will. Because of that, this mental hindrance will prevent you from developing the meditation. That's why you cannot develop the calm mind, the peacefulness of mind. So what you need is the opposite five mental states. They call it spiritual faculty. They can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, the teachings of the Buddha. First, you have to develop the faith and confidence in him. You have to understand who the Buddha is and how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, complete in understanding and wisdom and virtue. To have such a being to be your teacher, your faith should be very strong. You should have a lot of gratitude towards him and respect for him. That's why this faith, once developed, it will make your mind very calm and very composed. Then it will do away doubt, no more doubt. Yeah. Then if you see the importance of his teaching, because this teaching can bring about enlightenment, can transform you, can allow your mind to settle down, become peaceful, calm, and aware within. There is clarity of mind, there is peacefulness, there is calmness, there is joy, there is happiness. Then your mind does not stir and react like before. When you see the importance of this meditation that can transform you, you will go all out to cultivate this teaching, this meditation. That's why virya, which is spiritual zeal or tenacity, will arise. When they arise, you will be able to meditate very easily. Because this one will move you to train your mind to develop the third spiritual faculty, sati, or mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. You just aware, no thought. That's why when you walk, aware. When you bow, body and mind move as one, aware. When you stand, aware. When you sit, relax, silent, aware. Aware of your whole bodily posture, aware of the environment, aware of what is going on within your form and mind, within and without. So this awareness is just the silent mind developing the attentiveness to be aware. It doesn't think anymore. So when it doesn't think, it's just aware. There is no sensual desire, no ill will, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. That's why the mind is not restless. And when there is virya, sleepiness cannot arise. That's why the mental hindrance is gone. So, with the first three spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance are more or less taken care of. But as you stabilize the mindfulness, the sati, samadhi will arise. The mind become very stable, not only mindful and aware. There is a stable mind state that make this mind so different. This mind does not waver anymore. It is always collected and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel something, or think, or something, this mind does not react, does not create sensual desire, ill will anymore. It is just unwavering, collected. Then this one can see things as they are and understand things very fast. That's why sati and samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya or understanding. Then from there, you will know what the teaching is all about. And when you understand the teaching, you understand life. You know how to live. And you know how to free your mind. So basically, that is what meditation is about. Train your mind to have the spiritual faculty so that when this is there, the opposite five mental hindrance will cease to be. Then meditation become very simple. Throughout the day, every moment, every instant, the spiritual faculty is there. You are just peaceful, aware. Your mind is composed, calm. Then you have no more problem. Then when you want to sit, it's very easy. When you want to meditate, it's very easy. You are in the midst of life, you are already in the meditative state. So with this understanding, meditation becomes very simple. But to develop this spiritual faculty, you need to do devotional practice. Like the puja just now we did. You pay respect. You rejoice. You develop mindfulness training as you do the puja. Then you chant to develop the faith. You chant with understanding. You chant mindfully. Then you chant to recall to mind all of the teaching. Just now what we chant is to develop wisdom, understanding, affinity, and also wholesomeness, merits. Like we chant the salutation to the Buddha, is very wholesome. It recalls to mind the nine great virtues of the Buddha. That's why we chant Iti Pesu Bhagava Arahang. The English translation is next to it. Then you will develop the understanding. Then what constitutes the right Dhamma? We chant the salutation to the Dhamma. That's why we chant Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma or the teaching by the Buddha. And the characteristic of this teaching is all mentioned there. So this teaching being so unique, it has all these characteristics. That's why the Buddha said this teaching is sanditiko, akaliko, ahipasiko, opanaiko, then pachetang, veditabbo, vinuhiti. So it's all explained in the English translation next to it. So that when you meditate, you will know what are the Dhamma you're supposed to realize. So that you will not be confused. You will not do it wrongly. Then the third of the triple gem is the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha, enlightened disciple of the Buddha. We also chant that Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. So these four pairs of beings, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they are worthy of respect, offering, gift, and hospitality. They have four very important virtues. They have upright conduct. They have good conduct. They have wise conduct. And they do their duty very well. That's why they are with dutiful conduct. So if you meditate, develop the training of this mind, and you cannot develop these four great virtues or the great conducts, then you have to check, because this means you have done it wrongly. But if you can develop the understanding and have these four aspects of right conduct, then you are beautiful. First is a good conduct, then upright conduct, then wise conduct, and finally, you will do your duty very well. Dutiful conduct. So all these are for you to develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, then the mindfulness training. Then in the form of meditation, you're supposed to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi or pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then with that, you're supposed to use this mind that is trained to live life, to meditate in the midst of life. We call it the daily mindfulness meditation. Okay? Slowly. Initially, not easy. Because all of a sudden, you are exposed to something different. What they teach you last time, TM, is transcendental meditation. Means to transcend the normal thinking mind, to go into peacefulness of mind, various level of peace. That's why from the alpha state, you go into beta, then theta, then deeper state somehow. So your mind become very quiet, very peaceful. That one is seeking peace, developing the peacefulness of mind. Initially is helpful because it can bring you that inner peace, then the inner calmness giving to a very relaxed and calm mind. Then it's like you recuperate from your tired day, you feel fresh, you feel good, then you have good sleep. That's why TM initially was very popular in the early years, the 70s, the 60s, the 70s, even early 80s. But later on, people move on to other type of meditation. The Buddhist meditation has gained popularity. They call it vipassana, or insight meditation, to develop wisdom, insight knowledges. So these are the difference between TM and the Buddhist meditation. Okay, any other aspect that you experience apart from a lot of thought? Did you finally calm down? Did you experience any form of peacefulness after that? No. What about your wife? Very tired, sleepy, yeah? Oh, your back. Your back is aching. yeah. Where is the mic? Oh, okay. So they sorted out the beehive, huh? Oh, hornet.
Hello.
Oh, okay. You mentioned you feel tired, isn't it?
Feel very tired.
Yeah.
And then the backbone like very tired.
Oh,
like
you can feel the what they call like shin. Means your back, you better take care. It's going to develop problems soon. Yeah, when you silent and meditate, all this will show up.
Then the leg also
numb and pain. So that brings about a good condition for me to explain. Very good. You off the thing. Just off it. Press shift it. Thank you. You see, I always tell these people who come for meditation, you come here to train your mind to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being. You don't come here to torture yourself. Understand? So if you feel all this pain and all this thing, then you don't understand what is going on. What you do? You suppress. Understand? You endure is a better word. Understand? You can endure, it's very good. But most people cannot. They call it yan. You know Cantonese, isn't it? Yeah? You know Cantonese, isn't it? Yan means you try not to move. Understand? So that one is actually suppression. You suppress your pain. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to relax. The reason why it develops numbness and pain is because you are not relaxed. When you are not relaxed, the qi cannot flow. And you are new to this cross-legged thing. So it is a type of posture that you need to train. Otherwise, you find it very difficult to sit. That's why just now I saw immediately after meditation, you straighten your leg behind your husband, I saw. Which is good, because you find it more relaxed, isn't it? It's not torturing you. Like I say, at our age, if you cannot sit, you have not trained, initially maybe you can try it out. Then what you can find out for your own is, you relax and find out what happened. If you can endure that so-called pain, but you don't label it as pain, understand? The moment you label it as pain, it become what? This word is what? You will miss, You dislike that sensation, isn't it? This becomes a mental hindrance. That's why you cannot be peaceful after that. But this is your reaction of mind. Your mind is drawn to that thing that disturbs you, understand? So your mind is preoccupied with that sensation which you label pain, and it has become a mental hindrance. That's why the most gullible thing is, a lot of people in the early days, they say they do vipassana meditation, and they were taught one, when there is pain, they go and note that pain, pain. By doing that, actually, you create more mental hindrance. You create ill will, dislike for that sensation. What you're supposed to do is, you understand it, that the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, will arise this attachment to sensation. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, both are also mental hindrance. So if I have the understanding, I accept it, I don't label it. I just relax into it and endure. Means I want to train my body. I want to train my mind so that I can meditate. I can be in a stable posture to experience the meditation. If you start to do that and relax, the moment you relax and there is no mental hindrance, what happens is the peacefulness of mind that is just aware will take over. Then you will experience sati, the third spiritual faculty. And this one will arise. Then when this one arrives, you realize you become very calm, very peaceful. Then after a while, the thought also no more. All this restlessness, everything also cease. And then you experience piti, like what I mentioned just now, a spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, or they call spiritual rapture. Sometimes you can feel like something very, very nice. It's a state of piti, spiritual rapture, spiritual joy, intense joy inside there. You feel very good. And then you like to meditate. And the problem with most people is when that joy arises, they attach, they cling. They focus. Then initially it become better because it make you more calm. But you're supposed to relax into that too. Because otherwise it will cling to sensual desire, the good meditation, the good mind state. So every time they meditate, they look forward to that calmness, that peacefulness, that piti and the sukha. And when they cannot get it, they develop aversion. They say, my meditation lousy. That's the reason why they cannot progress. They oscillate between the good state and the bad state. They think meditation is about good or bad. Actually, the real meditation is nothing to do with good or bad. The meditation is to develop the spiritual faculty so that when they are stable, it will bring about the meditative mind. And this is the mind with the spiritual faculty that can understand spiritual teaching. That's how you can progress. That's it. So relax and maintain awareness. So this awareness is the silent mind. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware, mindful. So no need to try to be aware. No need to practice to be aware. No need. Just relax, silent, and let things be. Then all this thinking that your husband mentioned, they will settle down on their own. You don't develop dislike for the thinking. If you develop the dislike for the thinking and try to stop the thinking, it becomes worse. Well, that is mental hindrance. You will. And the stopping is suppression, control. Who is control? The thought is controlling thought. So when thought is active, this mind cannot settle down. It cannot become peaceful. That's why all the thought-based meditation that involves thought, they cannot develop the actual training. So when they use thought, they have to focus and concentrate. And then they develop energy field, jhana, and that time, during that state, their mind become calm too. But that is not a free mind. So the Buddha's teaching is different. It is to train this mind to be heedful, to be aware without thought. But not in a conditioned state, no focusing, no concentration. It just relax, silent, and away. Then that is a very different meditation. So hopefully, slowly, you go back and read the blue book and the seminar book, you will understand more. Then you have to maintain this sati or mindfulness or awareness for as long as you can. That's why I put here 24 hours. Then you relax into it and silent everything. And basically, that is what meditation is all about. It's very easy. But initially, you find it more difficult because compared to TM, they give you the music, the auto-suggestion, the words that make you very calm. They will tell you now, you close your eyes, relax. You are in a very peaceful, tranquil setting. Then with all the nice music, everything. Then you become auto-suggested by the music and all that. Then you reach a certain aspect of calmness and peacefulness. That's why your mind settled down. And you can experience that peace, that calmness. But this one doesn't last. Because when you do it through something else, you are dependent on that thing to be peaceful. Then like good food, every time you experience the same good food, after a few times, it doesn't work for you anymore. It's no longer special. So this TM thing is the same. You cannot develop peacefulness of mind on your own. You depend on all this. You need a maybe more intense type of music or more developed type of auto-suggestion to make you more calm and more peaceful. But whatever it is, ultimately, you need to have your own ability to go into that calm state on your own. But here, we are not talking about developing inner peace, inner calmness alone. The inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being will come as a byproduct of meditative training. We are here to develop the silent mind, the meditative mind, for us to understand and awaken to think, to insight into the universal characteristics of all phenomena. The Buddha said, the whole of this universe is a conditioned arising world. Conditioned state or conditioned phenomenal world. They experience this universal characteristic. The three universal characteristics, they are inherent in all phenomena. The first universal characteristic is they are impermanent. Means dependent on condition, they arise. When condition changes, they change, they evolve. Then when condition cease to be, they also cease to be. So that is the first universal characteristic you must be able to realize, insight into. Then because they are dependent, originating condition arising, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way. You have to accept that reality of the moment. If you insist to have things, or you want things the way you want it to be, which is not nature's way, which is not allowable by nature, then you will suffer. That's why the Buddha said, under the first noble truth, when you cannot get what you want in life, you will suffer. When things don't go your way, when the expectation in life are not met, you will suffer. But the reality is, whatever that happened, the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. So if the causes and conditions are like that, nature's law will take over. And the result will be this way. It's just like the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of goodness, wholesomeness, kindness, you will reap the fruit of goodness, wholesomeness, and kindness. You are good to people. People will be good to you. That's the nature's law. That's why to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you understand this in life, you will not do things that bring about karmic negativity. Because according to this law. You plant the seed of evil means you do evil thing. You arise evil speech, evil thought. So when you create evil, your mind become evil. You cheat people, you deceive people, you take advantage of people. Sometimes you harm, kill, and plot against people. So you reap what you sow. When you do this to people, in future, people will cheat you, take advantage of you, deceive you, kill you, harm you, also lie to you. So all this is nature's law. So when you understand the universal characteristic will show up, the Buddha said, suffering will arise when you want things your way, which is not nature's way. So if you don't act accordance with understanding, you will suffer, you will become afflicted. So life is very simple. When you know this nature's law that governs life and existence, like the law of karma, the Buddha make it very clear, is it? We have to reflect on it every day. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? If you want to improve your life, you have to take care of karma. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. So how to take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil, the good, and purify your mind. Basically, this is the advice of the Buddha. That's it. Every Buddha that come, they advise the same. So how to avoid all evil? Keep your precept. Don't kill, don't harm, don't cheat, don't commit sexual misconduct. Then, don't deceive and lie. Don't partake intoxicant. Yeah, these are evil things that bring about karmic negativity. When you harm people, cheat people, kill people, deceive people, lie to people, commit sexual misconduct, you cause a lot of hardship, misery, and suffering to fellow living beings. Then when you partake intoxicant like alcohol, drugs, and all things, it makes your consciousness very down. And because of that, you can violate all the other moral code or moral principles in life. And you will suffer. Sometimes you end up in police case. You can be charged for criminal activity, crime, murder, kidnap, and all those things. All this arises because there is selfishness, there is greed, there is emotional negativity, violence, anger, hatred, possessiveness. Then you also have situation where you harass people, you put fear into people. So when you do that, the law of karma is very fair. You reap what you sow. In future, people will put fear in you. People will also harass you and make life difficult for you. Just now on the way here, also one of the Kayamita told us, she got to move out of the house because the lady there, very few people can tolerate her. And she has a type of character that really make life very difficult for tenant who stay with her. So this lady says she used to go office and work, then sometimes attend the matau, then reach home quite late. Even reach home near to 12 or midnight, that landlady or what was go and make sure the toilet, he will take charge. He don't want to let her use. She come back so tired, want to take a bath and have an early sleep or rest. Cannot. Then the landlady somehow scold her. Say, why you every time fight with me for the toilet? And morning before you go office, he purposely use the toilet. Sit inside there, don't know do what for very long. That's why not easy to tolerate this type of character. But that is lie, I told her. I said, you never reflect. Well, in the past, you were like that landlady doing all these things to others. So now this lie, there is condition. This landlady do back to you. So fair or not? If you want to avoid all this, don't do all this nonsense. That's why you want to understand life very easy. You look at how you go through life, you will know. The Buddha said you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of your karma. So if your life is not in order, not proper, means in the past you have done a lot of nonsense. That's why I look back, I have a very good life. Even when I was in the uni, I rent room, rent house. The landlady treat me very well. Festival invite me to join them for their meals and all those things. Then got one time I play badminton, I sprained my leg. She was very observant, she saw. Then she came to my room and she said, I got this pita chow which is very good. You can try it on your leg. So I thank her. Then I just apply. Next morning I completely healed. I was full of joy. I go and thank the landlady. I said, thank you so much. Wow, what type of wonderful tita chow you have. Really, you were swollen already. You know, I can't walk already. Then she just applied using what they call akmo, the hand's feather. Duck's feather, sorry, not hand, duck's feather, sorry. Yeah, thanks for the correction. The duck's feather, the Cantonese one is correct, akmo. I apply, then I go and sleep. The next day I fully recover. My mistake was I never asked for the formula. I forgot to ask where she bought it and what was the formula. Then later on, I went back to look for her after I graduated. Many years, I can't find her. Where they moved out of that place, it was in section 17. Yeah. Then I realized in my work environment, oh, I don't have problem with staffs and bosses and people. I don't have. Then my neighbor, oh, very good. Then I reflected back. Oh, it must be because this nature has already had the understanding. That's why it avoid all this condition for them to arise. Then we can have the good life. And that is what the teaching is all about. It's to let you understand that it's never worthwhile to have selfishness, emotional negativity, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. All these are evil root, root of all evil. And delusion, self-delusion, that created the egoic mind. When you think you exist, you separate from others, then you develop what they call the personality, the ego. And this one can make you selfish, possessive. That's how the evil roots of greed arise. Yeah? Then you think you are individual. You can get angry. You can get emotional. You can be very, very violent. All these are the mind state that you develop through delusion. Not understanding who you are, what you are. This physical body and mind doesn't belong to you. It's not really you. Except it's related to you karmically. That's why this one is subject to karma. So you cannot play a fool with it. You have to do your duty. You have to have the Dhamma understanding to avoid all evil, do good. Then you have to meditate to develop the wisdom so that you don't get yourself entangled in life. And that is what the teaching is all about. Okay? So, I come back to your point. Next time you have pain or what, or you feel the back ache or what, you can do two things. First, try to endure, then relax. Okay? Relax. Then you find out for yourself whether it helps you or not. If you really relax, the chi will flow. That you silence your mind, don't create aversion towards that state. You will become calm, peaceful. Then the spiritual faculty will take over. The second possible way is because if your body cannot really sit and you really find it unbearable, then don't torture yourself unnecessarily. You need to move your leg, you move your leg. You need to lie down, you lie down. You need to sit on the chair, you sit on the chair. There are any posture that is stable that can allow you to train the mind to develop the meditation, you can use it. You don't have to cross your leg. Crossing your leg is only one of the options, because during the Buddha's time, you know why they cross leg or not? Yeah? You know why or not? Okay, that is one of the reasons. But the Buddha later knew his meditation is not to concentrate the chi, the tantien, and all those things. Or the third eye, and all those things. The Hindu one is go to the third eye. No, because during the Buddha's time, the ancient day, even when we are young, I remember during the 60s, do you realize in our house, you hardly got any chair? You realize or not? We got bench, we got stool. Then we most of the time sit on the floor. Do you realize that? You play game, play card or what, also you sit on the floor. Then we squat a lot. Our WC is squatting type one, not the sitting type one. Because that was our culture. So sitting in that posture is not the common culture. But in India, it's a common culture, understand that? Because they always sit cross-legged. It's their culture there. So since young, when they are born, they are already accustomed to sitting. But our civilization is different. By the time I grew up, we go to school. The school got chair, got table. At home, dinner time also got chair, got table. Then later we evolved armchair. More lazy chair, and all sorts of sitting chairs. Then we later on become more affluent. We got more comfortable chair, even bed also more comfortable. So we are not used to sitting cross-legged on floor actually. That's why most people have problem, especially with modern kids. You ask them to sit on the floor like that. For me, any posture will do, because meditation can be done in any posture. And this meditation is not to focus and concentrate and develop tantien and all those things. If you want for health reason, then you can do. Because those who do qigong, tai chi and all those things, or your wai tan kong or what, they build up their qi. There are some kayamita, like Brother Ching Yau and Vincent also. Their qi are very strong, and some of the kayamita also do yoga, qigong and all those things. They need it for their health. No harm, you can go and do. But if you want to develop wisdom inside, you have to separate the two. When you want to do qigong or what, you go and do it, build it up, build up your health, no problem. But when you come to doing the real vipassana or Buddhist meditation, you just have to relax, silent, and just aware. Then the daily mindfulness is very important. Okay? Where is the mic? Oh, it's here. You're off already, right? Okay, good. Oh, we still got half an hour. You got any meditation reporting or question, you can continue to ask. Anybody else? So now you understand better. So at least don't have to torture yourself unnecessarily. You come here to develop the training, isn't it? To make yourself more calm, more peaceful, so that you can recuperate from a tired day, isn't it? So with that understanding, you will know what to do. Key thing is relax. You can relax, you feel very good. Because when you are very tired, you just relax and sleep, isn't it? So you can lie down and sleep. But initially, you will sleep, you will doze off and sometimes snore, which means you got good sleep, good rest. And that is better than sitting there with all the thought going on, agitation. That's why I say, if you don't understand, it's better to just relax and lie down and become peaceful and calm. And that is meditation, in fact, but maintain awareness. The difference between sleeping and meditation is the one that sleep, no more awareness. The one that can maintain awareness, or what they call the inner attentiveness, to be just relaxed and aware. No need to know, no need to think, just aware. The awareness will make you peaceful, calm, and it will let you understand many things. And that is what meditation is all about. Okay. Anybody else got any question or reporting on meditation? You don't have that. I read that blue book to you. This blue book is very useful, yeah, so that you understand. Important meditation instruction needed to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah? So this one, the preface, you all go and read yourself. Yeah? Then we go to acknowledgement, also you read yourself. Then we turn to page 1. Yeah? Session 1, pre-puja. So this one is the same. Eh? Can we get someone to light the puja incense and candle? So just now, Stephanie's friend, eh? Couple, they did it. Then I also mentioned, eh? It has been almost a month plus since we last met Sian and Mifeng, and many of us must have been looking forward to their homecoming. Now that they are back, shall we rejoice? That time I think they went to the state, or I don't know where. Then after that we started the puja. Then I mentioned, thank you so much for partaking in the puja offering. You all can be seated. Then we can start the puja like just now, or the chanting. Then after the puja chanting, yeah, we develop the sharing. Then I mentioned you can be seated. Turn to page 4 of the chanting book before we start our puja chanting. Then I said I would like to share some important Dhamma understanding with you all. Just now while doing the puja offering, we developed the faith and we rejoiced. Apart from developing the spiritual faculty of sadha or faith and rejoicing, you can also develop mindfulness. This is the daily mindfulness that I taught you all that time. Mindfulness can be cultivated in many ways. Mindfulness of our kaya or bodily action and movements. Also being mindful of what you observe and perceive through your consciousness is another important aspect of mindfulness. When you have developed the spiritual faculty of sadha, viryasati, and samadhi, you will be calm and composed. Hence, there is clarity. You will then become different. After that, your mindfulness and heedfulness will become very natural. Even during the puja, you will understand many things. Even the puja you are partaking in will be done with full understanding, and you can be very heedful with a lot of joy most of the time. The cultivation of these spiritual faculties can also become very meaningful and can give rise to very penetrative understanding. And with the spiritual faculty, your mental hindrance will be overcome. When your hand moves to receive the offering, and as you rejoice, you are aware. See? That part very important. Then as you offer the puja offering to Sakyamuni Buddha or the Triple Gem, again, you are mindful. Then as you move and hand this offering over to your fellow Kayanamita, you are also mindful. And you all develop the joy via rejoicing. Means you rejoice too. Pronouncing sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means excellent. Means you rejoice in the wholesomeness or goodness of others, their generosity, their wholesomeness, their understanding. As you observe all these movement and phenomena with mindfulness, you will become more and more heedful. Then later on, all this mindfulness training that you do will become a new way of living life. I don't call it habitual tendency, where it is done with heedfulness, awareness, and mindfulness. So from a heedless way of living life, which result in habitual tendency, now you are able to develop a new way of heedful living. And when you can do everything in life this way, with the same type of faith, awareness, and heedfulness, you will become very different. And you are then destined for enlightenment as described in Dhammapada verse 21. And this is what heedfulness or Appamada is all about. Now let us look at the whiteboard. This was written long ago and it was not rubbed off because these are the important essential Dhamma that you all need to develop the understanding so that you all can meditate with clear understanding. Look at the right hand corner. I mark it with the word most important, apamadena sampadeta, meaning strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena is heedfulness. That one quality of mind is the most important. You cannot be heedful, the Buddha said, you are as if dead spiritually. So this is something you have to bear in mind. When you have the understanding, everything becomes Dhamma, and everything becomes a part of meditation or heedfulness training. So the next time when you do your puja, you must try to develop this understanding. It will transform you and make you very, very different. So this part, I hope you all can keep in mind so that it will help you to develop mindfulness in the midst of life. If puja also you can do, it means you can do it in any activity in life. Where puja is the most basic and most elementary. And if you can be mindful in the midst of puja, means you can be mindful in the midst of living life. I realize human beings, most of the time they are not mindful. They are busy thinking, very heedless. They think a lot, they worry a lot, they plan a lot. And they are seldom in the moment. I should use the word hardly in the moment. They are hardly aware, silent, peaceful. Most of the time, thinking, reacting. That's why I used to say, human beings are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they never leave life. They plan a lot. They think a lot. Then they worry a lot. Then they confront life with a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of unhappy moments. Seldom you see them happy. Seldom you see them peaceful. Seldom you see them relaxed. Most of them are in a very stressful environment. Especially after a tired day, you go back. You look very stressful. Then sometimes you get emotional when you reach home. You sometimes call your kid and your spouse, don't disturb me anymore, I had enough in the office. And you want some peace. You say, off the TV. Don't make any more noise. Go upstairs and do your homework. Well, go and sleep early. So sometimes when you are affected by your own emotion or fear or problem, then you lost your ability to be aware and you lost your ability to understand life, to live life. That's why human beings has a lot of problems. They worry, they think, and they are lost in thought. That's how they develop depression. And through the intense stressful environment and fear, they develop a lot of anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation. Then this cocoon of thought keep on haunting them until they become depressed. So sign of depression arise very fast, especially when you have problem, you cannot solve your problem. It can be any problem related to life. Maybe financial problem, health problem, relationship problem, career related problem, or relationship relationship actually has afflicted many human beings, especially spouse or even boyfriend, girlfriend, when they decide to break up or they decide to separate, to go separate way, divorce and all those things. It can be very traumatic. Then those who are related to them will also be affected. Their children, their siblings, their parents, their in-laws, all will be affected. And this is the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth reality of the Buddha's teaching. So you don't know how to deal with such situation with a clear mind, with understanding. You don't know how to nip it in the bud and resolve it there and then. Resolve it amicably so that nobody gets hurt. Then each can go their separate way and move on. You don't go and cling on to this thing, get angry, get emotional, worry, then do all the funny thing, the stupid thing. Sometimes you develop through envy, jealousy, hatred. Then you burst yourself out. That's why they say, never, never make a lady angry. They can chop you out into 16 pieces through anger, through violence. So life can be pretty difficult when you don't have the Dhamma, the understanding behind. Okay, that is the first part. Then I move on. Meditation instruction. You go back and read, you will know. You can be seated and do relax your body and mind. See, my first instruction was relax body and mind, but most people didn't get the word relax body and mind. I say maintain some form of attention and then you can start your meditation. Tonight I was told there are quite a number of new people attending this meditation class. So I will spend a bit more time explaining some basic to them. For those who already know how to meditate, you may start the meditation on your own. I will explain to those who are new, especially those who are here for the first time, so that they can develop a clearer understanding of what this meditation session is all about. It will benefit them. Vipassana meditation. We call it Vipassana meditation, meaning we are here to develop Vipassana insight. It is important that we understand this word, Vipassana. So what is Vipassana? Vipassana is a Pali word. If you have some basic Buddhist understanding, you will know that we represent the three universal characteristics of nature. And Passana is to insight into these three universal characteristics of nature. That's the reason why. Whatever meditation that can bring about this understanding, this awakening, can be termed Vipassana meditation. So Vipassana meditation is to train your mind to develop wisdom and not concentration or absorption or energy field. It is just to develop the understanding of the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature or existence. According to the Buddha, these three universal characteristics of nature exist everywhere, and they are inherent in all things in nature. All phenomena exhibit this characteristic. The moment you insight into this nature's phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics, you will awaken, you will understand many things, and you will sever your delusion, especially self-delusion or sakadity. So the main purpose of this meditation is to develop this type of wisdom, awakening and understanding, leading to the realization of Nibbana. Then the five mental hindrances. The way we start to develop this meditation is very important. The Buddha explained to us clearly why living beings are heedless. What is it like to be heedless? It means you are not mindful. You are not aware. You are not heedful. You think a lot. You are constantly lost in thought. you have a lot of mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. So this is key to understanding meditation. You look at the two categories of essential Dhamma that the Buddha have taught. First category is the five mental hindrance. He said, because of this mental hindrance, living beings become heedless. They develop habitual tendency because they react to their sense experience via their delusion and conditioning. Everything they see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, they will react and stir their mind through likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And that is how sensual desire and ill will, the first two mental hindrances, arise. When this happens, your mind is no longer at peace. It is not in equanimity anymore. It has these two extremes, or what we call duality. So if at the moment of sense experience, when you go through your daily life, or when you live life, you continue to arise these two mental hindrances, then what will happen to you? It will become your habitual tendency. When it becomes a habit, you will do it automatically. It's like autopilot or auto-response. When this response or reaction becomes habitual, then you become heedless because throughout the day you are lost in thought and you stir your mind so often to arise the mental hindrance. That's why it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness, to be silent, because there is no equanimity, there is no understanding. The mind just reacts and stirs according to your views, opinion, and conditioning. The third mental hindrance is sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor is a state of mind that is sleepy, lethargic, and lazy. How does it arise? It arises when you don't see the importance of that particular cultivation. It's like in school. When you go to a class teaching the subject that you don't like, especially physics, you will sleep in the class, especially so you are an art student. You just cannot cope when it comes to science subject, and you will feel sleepy because it's not your piece of cake. So when you don't see the importance and you cannot understand, just like meditation, ask you to meditate, you say, when I close my eye, I feel sleepy and I think a lot. All this will either make you sleepy or restless. That's how the mental hindrance arises. Thinking a lot is restlessness of mind, the fourth mental hindrance. And the reason why you are restless is because of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, and your habitual wrong thinking leading to habitual tendency. And it arises mainly because you do not live your daily life in an orderly manner. J. Krishnamurti said, you have a life of disorder. There is no order in your life, meaning you are not at peace. Like a country that has no law and order, what happened? It will be in chaos, and everywhere, everything will go wrong. So when you violate your precept and you don't live your life in accordance with this nature's law that governs all of life and existence, you will suffer. The Buddha said, when you violate your precepts and do things inappropriately, your mind will become restless because of your fear, worry, and anxiety. Also, when you project your thought to arise a fear, then you don't know what will happen. Sorry, you don't know what to do. Hence, fear leading to restlessness of mind is a major mental hindrance for those who are heedless, for those who don't have the number, for those who don't keep their precept. Those who violate their precept will have a lot of problems. They will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of karmic negativity. And when conditions arise for the friction of it to manifest, it will set the base for more negative karma to arise. That's how they become afflicted and miserable. Then they will have a lot of fear, worry, and anxiety. That's why their mind is always restless and never peaceful. For these people, peace is like very difficult to come by. So these are mental hindrances that hinders them, because when they have karmic negativity due to their heedlessness, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will be there to arise the mental hindrance. Then when you have doubt, the last mental hindrance, you just cannot meditate because you don't understand and you are not sure. Sometimes you don't even have faith in what the Buddha taught, and you also don't have faith in what people tell you. Faith comes from understanding through Dhamma investigation. Then that faith, which is not blind faith, becomes stable. When you don't understand, you just believe and become gullible. That is blind faith. So true faith is born of investigative understanding. After you have put it to test, then you realize that this is the truth, for it stands up the investigation. Then you develop the appropriate faith. So regarding this mental hindrance, for living beings that are heedless throughout the day, they have a lot of them. Throughout the day, every moment, every instant, the first, second, and the fourth mental hindrance keep on arising. The third mental hindrance is not so often. Then for those who don't understand, the fifth mental hindrance is always there. The Buddha asks, when you understand that these are the hindrances that make you heedless and hinders you from becoming peaceful and having the clarity of mind to develop the meditation, then what must you do? Then somebody answered. Then I said, yes, you must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. They are special mind states, special faculties of mind that can allow you to understand his spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculties, whereas the other five are called mental hindrances. If you cultivate the opposite five, they will automatically help you to overcome the five mental hindrances. So do not become gullible. Do not do the wrong thing like most people do. They go and fight the hindrance by trying to suppress and control them, thereby eventually developing aversion and fear towards this hindrance. If you do that, you are going nowhere, because the problem doesn't lie there. That is fighting, suppressing, and controlling the mental hindrance. The problem lies here, not knowing that you only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, then the hindrance will be gone. You don't develop this spiritual faculty, then this mental hindrance will forever be active. How do you cultivate this opposite five spiritual faculty? This topic is very important. That's why from page 8 onward, I hope you can go back and read. So the five spiritual faculty, how to develop that. This book actually is a very good book. It's based on one of the Thursday class, and I spoke all this. And we transcribe it into a book. There are some beautiful questions at the end too. So this book, the reason why I have the condition to come back to it was because after we print this book, I found it so good. I keep on giving away, until I left with four books left. Then I WhatsApp Padmasri and Sui An and Mifong. I said, do you still have? Oh, they told me they still have. Means they didn't give out. And I gave to many people, but I don't know how many read them. This is a very, very important book, I tell you. A lot of things are here, if you can understand. Okay? Any question? Those who don't have a copy can collect afterwards. This one was printed 2 years ago. 2015 December. Almost 2 years. Now it's end of the year, 2017. They did the transcript that time, it was August, I think. Then we got it finally printed, end of the 2015. And this is a very useful book. Okay? Any question? Anything that you want to clarify? Can you understand what I share with you? Is it clear? No response means what? Sure? You are not sure. You better let me know. Otherwise, you will never learn. Is it? Last time, Kayamita used to tell me, but dear, what you share was very good, but very difficult to remember. Oh, then we did the transcript. After doing the transcript, read also lazy, I realized. You ask, hardly anybody read. And most of them read, cannot understand. So I have to read it out. After the transcript, I read it out. After read it out, I ask, do you understand? No response. So how? But I know a lot of other Kayamita who are serious. They not only read, they go line by line. And they develop the understanding. That's why they can progress very fast. And this type of understanding is very difficult to come by. Able to link all the teaching together and explain to you so clearly the rationale behind the Buddha's teaching and how he teach, how his teaching come about. Okay. While you all think of your question, I have a drink. My throat is dry now. Do you all have any other question or reporting to make? We still got 5 minutes. Don't have, then maybe we end. Tonight I have to do a special puja invocation because one of our Kayamita, Brother Kang, my physics teacher, I went with some classmate to see him yesterday. We had a wife call me up. He's going to do his bypass tomorrow. So let us send metta and merits to him. Then tomorrow on your own, you can. You also radiate love and metta. I will forward his photo to the group website afterwards. I just write his name. I think many of you may know him. We have met him at a retreat before. Then he also used to invite me to give Dhamma talk in Alaska itself. And every time I go home, he will contact me, especially New Year time, to have a session with them. So Panchi, they are very close to him. And the wife is also taking care of him at the IGN. He's in IGN. So the doctor say it's safer to do the bypass and better to do the bypass because the blockage part is a Y, then it has hardened. So normal angio may not work. So that's why he has been delaying all this for the past 20 years. Then finally, he decided to do. And he was very lucky, according to the wife and him. He said somehow he managed to get admitted into IGN, and they were government servant. All the tests they do, the whole operation, all free. And he was given a single room. Very nice. So all this is meant to be. So anyway, we will recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed through our sharing, our meditation, our puja, our rejoicing. Then we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with evoking the causes and conditions for Brother Kang, Kang Beng Kok, my physics teacher, our fellow Kayaramita friend, who is going for the heart bypass operation tomorrow, scheduled tomorrow, Friday. Let us rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then by the power of all these merits that we have developed over the last 2 hours of sharing, meditation, and rejoicing, puja, etc. We would like to dedicate all these merits to Brother Kang Beng Kok, so that he can have a successful and maybe a successful and well conducted heart bypass operation, so that he can recover to good health soon. Let us hope it will also arise a causes and condition for him to have the right mind states to come to terms with the understanding of what is going on, and in his own words, together with the wife, because of the Dhamma they have understood, they are very calm and they understand this very clearly. They have faith and they know what to do. In fact, when we were there, he was still full of joy. And because of that, I said, don't worry, everything will be fine. So the wife requested for us to send metta. I said, I will do. And I decide tonight, we will transfer and share all this wholesomeness. And hopefully, he will recover to good health so that he can get to develop the meditation, the cultivation, and become beautiful and become a blessing to all in the future. Then we also share these merits and wholesomeness with all beings, especially the Dhamma protectors, starting with the Devas. Akasata Chabomata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Itawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Ibang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Ibina Punyang Kamina Mami Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we end. Thank you.
practice the Dhamma, let's express our gratitude. The gratitude for coming all the way to share Buddha Dhamma with us. This is the advice for the Sadhu Sadhu,
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Jinghao for fetching gratitude and this is still here. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Sadhu to Brother Sri An and Sister Mei Fong for inviting us to these beautiful homes to hear the Dhamma.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Just a reminder, the annual gathering as well, the Hill's birthday is this Sunday. Please be early. The guest arrives at 10, the Hill arrives
at 10:30. 10:30, 11 start already.